kick off hour number three of the program. It's brought to you by Blue Water Climate Control. Check them out online at bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. Take advantage of their spring maintenance package. Mention Fan Run Radio, and you'll get a discount at Blue Water Climate Control. It's locally owned and operated. Support businesses right here in Knoxville. I mean, insanely good ratings, customer service. Number one HVAC company here in Knoxville. Give them a call, 865-299-2290. That's 865-299-2290. Or you can go to Blue Water Climate Control and use their virtual dispatcher and get an appointment set up quickly. Did that here when our unit was dying. They fixed it a couple times and then replaced the whole thing for us. Incredible customer service at Blue Water Climate Control right here in Knoxville. To the phone lines we go. Last call for phone calls. Jay's up first. What's up, Jay? You're on Three and Out.
Well, guys, I hate to jump on the old Davy Hudson negativity train here, but
hate to be the bearer of bad news.
Yeah.
Well, don't worry about it. Nate's the conductor, so you're in good hands. You're safe.
Choo-choo.
I'm just having, you know, our basketball program has been more stable than it ever has been in my lifetime. We brought in more good players. We put more guys in the NBA than ever before. We've won our first conference title. So, I mean, Rick Barnes has done a lot of good things here. I am kind of getting to the point that I just kind of I'm losing some excitement for basketball because I feel like it doesn't really matter what we do or what kind of players we get. We're getting bounced in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. And that's just kind of who Rick Barnes is, and that's just kind of what he does. And, you know, there's a reason that Texas fans got to the point that they got to, and that's just kind of how I feel about our program. Am I right or wrong for feeling that way, or what do y'all think?
I'm not going to say you're right or wrong for how you feel, but ask Texas fans if they think they made a mistake when they rolled Rick Barnes and then didn't make the tournament for 6-7 years.
Yeah, last year mm-hmm. was their first tournament.
Yeah.
So it's just
now, granted they got the coach that everybody wanted, but I get what you're saying.
No, you're right, they did. I mean, they got Shaka Smart. Like, there's no way that doesn't work out, except they failed to realize that Shaka Smart's, you know, I mean, he's a full court press guy, get up and down. A lot of these five star guys that you get at Texas are like, why would I go to Texas and work my ass off when I can go just kind of mm-hmm. play, sit in the corner, shoot threes at other places? I mean, don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. everybody works hard, but Shaka Smart, for his system to work, you have to have a bunch of really hungry dudes who realize they're not going to be the most talented team in the country and are going to work really hard. That was Texas's mistake. But I think you're right. I mean, what Rick Barnes inherited is probably the worst Tennessee basketball situation in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And what he's turned it into, to your point, I think is the most stable it's been in my mm-hmm. lifetime. Don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. you had peaks and valleys in the Pearl years, and you felt like you were always on the verge of a championship, but there was also...
The Pearl guys were also like...
Exactly, yeah.
Like carrying guns.
Yeah, right. Like the wheels were always about ready to wobble off.
Yep.
Like things were always just about ready to crash and burn. So, you know, it's tough because do I think... with the perfect hire, you could get a coach that keeps it stable, that recruits as well, or maybe even a little better, and is better in March? Yes. I also think the chance of, you know, missing the way Texas did and slipping into the, you know, college basketball abyss for a few years is possible too. Now, I will say, with Danny White making the hire, I would mm-hmm. feel much better than if it were Fulmer or Hamilton, or, you know, go down the list. Like, I think Danny White's a smart young guy who obviously has, you know, basketball ties for himself and for his family. But, you know, I'm not wishing Rick Barnes away, but I do completely understand mm-hmm. what you're saying. That, like, hey, you know, great regular season. You go undefeated at home for, what, 2 years in a row or something like that, or at least last year.
Mm-hmm.
Attendance is top four nationally every year. You're winning a bunch of games. You're getting two seeds, three seeds. You're right there. But he doesn't take the next step in the postseason, and that's frustrating. Now, he did take a big next step last year winning the SEC tournament. Hadn't been done around here in a long time.
But, oh, yeah.
But you got to carry that into, you know, the big dance.
Yeah, I mean, I love every – it's like Rick Barnes has so many green flags. He just has – to me, he has one major red flag.
Yeah.
Because of what the tournament means in that sport, right? I mean, it's just it's a tournament – it's almost unfair, you know. Vitello talked about it. He said, "I would hate to coach in a sport where that tournament means everything and it's single elimination." He said, "I would hate to be a coach in that sport." Talking about basketball, and yeah. It's just it's kind of unforgiving. But I'm hoping that Barnes can break through, because really, that's the only thing that he is missing here is the tournament success. He's doing everything else really well. And I hope he breaks through. Y'all have a good morning.
Thanks for the call, Jay.
It's a good point, man. I mean, it really is. I mean, if he would bust through to a Sweet 16 or even an Elite 8, like if he had already done that, you go into every season thinking the ultimate goal is possible. But every time he doesn't, you hear the volume turn up on great regular season, but we're not getting out of the first weekend. And then it happens.
Yeah.
And then it gets worse and louder and worse and louder. So, yeah, I mean, it's a fair point.
I'd actually convince myself this year, too, that, you know, I thought we would beat Michigan. You know, like I talked myself into
it. I did, too, especially the way they played against Longwood.
I talked myself into it, and then it just all kind of came crashing down. And, I mean, and it's a small sample size. Even with a coach that – even with coaches that have coached for a few years and made a lot of tournaments, like – single elimination situations. I mean, it is kind of a small sample, but
one bad night.
But with Rick Barnes, like, God, I mean, it's starting to be a pattern and at different schools, and it when it happens over and over at your school, and it's happened at other schools. Like, I don't know. It's going to be a perpetual wait and see at this point. All right, let's go to Matt. Matt's a big golf guy. Matt, you can weigh in on basketball, golf, whatever you want. What's up, buddy?
Awesome.
What are you doing calling at 9 o'clock?
Dude, I got started a little late this morning.
That's what we predicted. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I planted a tree yesterday at the house. Like, bought my wife a magnolia tree for her birthday and Mother's Day, and I so
that's a not a metaphor, right?
No, okay. It's not. You got to dig a hole twice as wide, and it was absolutely brutal. So I ain't gonna lie, I was hurting this morning. And just everything's a little slow. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
I like Jay, man. I like his calls, and I agree with him. But I do think that Bruce might have had a – I think he might have had a tougher road than our current coach, just because coming in after Buzzball and igniting a dead program, and that's what he had to do, might have been a little tougher. What do y'all think?
No,
maybe the theme, but not the personnel. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, Buzz could recruit. I knew Buzz personally when I was younger. Like, great guy, great family, awesome. But I just don't think he had the work ethic and the effort that Bruce did, that Barnes does. I just think he was a little, well, I got the big job, I'm good now. But he could still get players. And you saw that in Pearl's first year. He took a roster that we all thought, man, this team can't even make an NCAA tournament. He got him a 2 seed. Now,
yeah, but Watson, I mean.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, I was just saying that, you know, you didn't know how good Watson was, though, until Pearl got here.
Oh, no. He took it to a next level, for sure. I just think when Rick Barnes got here, you know, after what happened with Konzo and then with Donnie, I mean, we had a coach leave for – took a pay cut to go to Cal. You know, Tennessee fans are being called – I mean, the entire fan base was being called racist, not because we wanted Konzo fired, but because we wanted Bruce back. Then Donnie gets the 10-year show cause. I just think the brand of – like, Bruce took Tennessee basketball when it didn't really have a brand and gave it one. When Barnes got here, the brand was there. It was just – it was like a don't-touch-it situation. I mean, it was just viewed as, these are – you know, garbage people who don't care about anything. And, you know, he had, you know, there's a lot to overcome there.
Well, it's weird because Jay's right and you guys are right. He can't get over this hump. And it sucks because I don't think you can get rid of the guy either, because he's such a damn good coach. He's a good coach. And you don't want to be in the same situation we were in after you know, I eat crow because I wanted Fulmer out of here, and I got the guy that I wanted in here. So look how that turned out.
Yeah, same.
You know?
And I don't think that was a bad hire. He just got, the dream job the next year. But because you made the move and made that move, you're left picking up the pieces.
Yeah, and I think if that wasn't his fault, and that was the administration, man. I'll take that to the grave. Like, we got the right hire, we got the right guy for the job, but they let him out on a $1 million buyout, and they set that contract up to give him an out to go to USC, which should have never been the case.
Yeah, if you had that much confidence in him, and I did at the time too. Yep. He was number one on my board. If you have that much confidence, you got to trust yourself, bet on yourself, and bet on your coach, and make sure he's not going to leave at the first, pretty thing that walks by. No pun intended there.
If he stays here, if he stays here too, Tennessee's probably got two national championships. That probably happens. If you don't get in trouble with the NCAA, which is what's a possibility as well.
That's true.
On golf. Wow, guys. What a freaking crazy weekend. I feel bad for this rookie kid, man.
Yeah, you should feel bad for me.
Who, Pereira?
Why?
Oh, because
his pick
team's terrible.
Adam's team was really awful in the
39 over.
Yeesh.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
You talking about,
dude? That's everybody.
It was awful.
Nobody played that well, especially on Sunday. I mean, the starting score for the day, somebody got up to 10 under, and then the final score was 6. I mean, that's why Thomas was able to rally in there, just sneak into the back door, because his 67, which I think was a low round of the day. But you can't hit a driver off the tee box on 18 when you're up by a stroke. That is the dumbest. I feel bad for him, man.
I don't know, man. It's the hardest hole in the golf course. Like, and he's got to make par. This wasn't like Vandeveld, who could make double and win. I mean, he's got to make par.
And I know he's a long hitter, but did JT not hit 3-wood and drive the green on 18? Well, in the playoff.
No, not 18.
No, 18's the hardest hole in the course.
Drivable. 18 was.
I'm sorry. I was thinking of 17. I was thinking of 17. That's my bad.
17 was the drivable. But 18 is the one that, it's got that lip, the hill. It's got a 20-foot drop to the right. So if you hit a fade or a power fade or whatever, which most of those guys were hitting.
18 is the one with the creek, right? If you drive it too far, it goes in the creek. Yeah.
You saw him, right?
No, I didn't. I was driving home when he did that.
Yeah, he hit it in
the creek. Well, he hits a driver, and if he hits a 3-wood, he lays in that landing area that's short, and he's still got a 160-yard shot, which was, no problem. He rips a driver with that god-awful swing he had, some power slice, power draw, or power fade.
Was he trying to cover the creek? Like, what was the what was the plan there?
He was trying to hit it to do a stinger and have it hit on top of the heel and then just drift down to the landing area.
Yeah.
But he overcooked it and, ends up going in the water. And, he just opened the door. And then he played after that. He hits a second shot long left, and then you're just – double bogey, man. All he had to do was bogey the hole to push the playoff, and he just sets himself out of it. And, I don't know, man. I was pulling for the kid. I like Thomas, too, but, you hate losing it that way. Nate, what do you think?
Zalatoris is going to be a problem, by the way. That kid's good.
Yeah, he's really
if he works out a little bit, if he gains about 15 pounds, he's going to be a real problem.
He's gotten stronger, man.
He has.
Five top 10 tennis finishes, and four of those are in majors? That's freaking solid.
Yeah, I think once he breaks through, he's going to be a problem for a while.
Yeah, and I tell you what his weakness is. His putting, man, is atrocious. He's got it. He's a good player. He can't even putt worth a crap. So imagine when he gets that worked out.
He made two big ones down the stretch.
Well, a lot of really good putters looked like garbage this weekend. I mean, Jordan Spieth, I don't know, did you guys see him look like he about wanted to throw it in the creek about six times?
Mm-hmm.
And he's normally really, really good on the greens.
Well, it's fun. I love, watching that course set up, which plays, it takes those power hitters out of the play. They set that course up and redid it to where, 5 years ago, where all that water's in play. I love that. I think if you're going to eliminate this power game, that's what you got to do. You got to get these guys hitting either those power hitters were having to hit 3-woods and irons off the tee box to not, because if they hit drivers, they were in the creeks.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a couple holes where they could let it fly, and they did. What was Rahm's drive? Was it Friday? It was like 4:23. Ridiculous.
Yeah, it is crazy. I agree with Jack, man. They need to tone it back with the golf ball. You know, back in 95 when that golf ball changed to the composite golf ball, that's when golf changed. Those guys went from, you know, you watch his interview, that from 1950 to 1994, they increased drives. It was like 9 yards. And from 1990, from the separation from 93 to 96, where that composite golf ball came out, was 50 yards.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's Tiger's era too.
Yeah.
Tiger came in 97, 99, and, you know, he threw it further. But that's the whole, that's the issue, man, it's the golf ball. When they went, I think they should go back to that old golf ball and shorten the courses back to where they were at.
I think the purists do. I think Jack does. I think a lot of guys, you know, especially if you play, like, you kind of want to see a little bit of separation of the skill. But I think the PGA and the game of golf says, man, if they can hit it 450, let them. We want low scores.
Yeah, but
we want long
drives.
It's
a game for amateurs, man. Like, that's the whole point they got to be careful for, is that it's not good for the average the recreational golfer that goes to play a golf course.
Mm.
And, you know, you're trying to get out there and play, but you can't take an amateur golfer and play a 500-yard par 4.
No.
I mean, that's just not fun. You rip a drive, if you hit one 300, 200 left, that's crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, most courses don't have the room to have back tees that are 500 yards and,
right,
you know, white tees that are
way
up. I mean, without it being, like, really weird, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. So, I just like them. I just like if they can redesign the courses. So, but anyways, I'll talk some more tomorrow about it, guys. Good stuff.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about this, about him hitting driver on 18. I mean, it's a 500-yard hole.
Yeah.
Like,
but with that creek where it's at, and to Matt's point, and that's one of the reasons they redesigned it.
Well, he tried to hit, I mean, he didn't hit it where it was, like, going to go in the creek if he hit it too far. He was trying to hit a stinger down the left. And I don't know. I mean, sometimes maybe that's a shot he hits a lot, but in that pressure moment, it just did not. His swing just broke down.
I was going to say, it could also be the fact that I'm leading the PGA Championship. Yeah. I can't make a mistake. Ugh.
I mean, you just need a par. That's the one shot where you could really get in trouble on that hole. I mean, if he hits a good one there, he's got a great shot to win.
Sometimes you go for everything, right? Like, you go for the win, and it just didn't pay out for him.
He said he was just trying to put it in play, though. That's what was
really
funny.
Wow.
Like, it almost... We've all been there, right? You're in a big moment. You either got to hit a shot or make a, you know, do whatever. There's two ways to do it. There's, okay, I'm going to play the safer shot and be smart here. It sounds like that's what he was doing, but with a driver. Or there's the, nope, I'm going to hit my normal shot and hope my muscles just, even in this pressure moment, come through for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like he tried to hit kind of a stinger down the left and I don't know, just a terrible-looking swing. I mean, it wasn't even close, and just down the right side and into the creek. Still had a chance to win if he could have got
– Yep.
I mean, I guess he would have had to get up and down, but he, you know, from the fairway. But really just trying to make bogey and get in the playoff. Should have been the play. He wasn't even close. Salatoris and Thomas went to the playoff. Thomas ended up winning it. Come back with more. Stick with us. Hour 3 continues next. We have a new projected field of 64 by D1 Baseball.
Oh, the new polls came out today. Did we?
Sure, that's
certainly good.
Certainly. We do have a new number 2 seed in our Knoxville Regional. How do you feel about Wake Forest?
I don't know, Hickman. How do you feel about Wake Forest?
I don't know much about Wake Forest basketball.
This is baseball.
I mean, baseball.
Okay.
I know a lot about their basketball team, actually. Wake Forest has a pretty good future ahead of them in basketball. Baseball, don't know much.
Are they ranked right now?
They steal a lot of bases, though, don't they?
Oh, great.
We talked about that. I think that's them. Yeah.
Committee really doing us a solid there, huh?
Yeah, we have like three of the best base-stealing teams in that projected bracket right there.
Great.
I think we have like the number three team.
Coppin State, Wake Forest, and Wofford.
Let's see. Hold on.
Who is it? Wake Forest, Coppin State, and Wofford?
Wofford's the three, yeah. Coppin State would be our first-round opponent. They're both would be our projected conference champs.
Wofford, number three overall in stolen bases.
Yep, fun.
Coppin State, number nine overall in stolen bases.
This is just D1 messing with us, right? We'd be cross-bracketed for the Super with the Georgia Southern Statesboro region that has the number two seed Georgia Bulldogs in it.
You don't think we could take two out of three from Georgia?
I don't know. I don't like playing another SEC team.
I don't either.
Supers. I'd rather just play, you know, Oregon or
something. I was scared.
You know what's going to happen.
What?
Is Purdue projected in the field?
I don't think so.
They're 12th. Shush. They're 12th overall in stolen bases. Purdue.
I don't see them. I think we're good there.
We did already play Georgia Southern, correct?
Yeah, we
beat them handily.
Yeah,
bad. But they've been really good this year.
And they got the motivation if they're facing Dolander.
I was just about to say, could you imagine that storyline? SEC pitcher of the year,
game one.
Chase Dolander gets his former team in game one.
How bad do you think they're feeling right now about that?
Oh, there's nothing they could do.
I know.
Pitch at Georgia Southern, or do you want to come to Tennessee? NIL.
I mean, they could have been a legit Omaha threat if they had Dolander.
Anybody could be. With a guy that good, like you're at least in it, you're a threat.
Yeah.
Too bad he's ours now. Anything else interesting about the projected 64?
Well, here's your list. Okay. Two is Virginia Tech, three Stanford, four Oregon State, five Miami.
Highest ranking ever for Virginia Tech, by the way.
6, Maryland, 7, Louisville, 8, Texas A&M, 9th, Southern Miss, 10th, Auburn, 11th, Virginia, 12th, Notre Dame. So these are teams you might see, you know, as your 16-seed super regional opponent. 12th, Notre Dame, 13th, Oregon, 14th, TCU, 15th, Oklahoma State, 16th, Georgia Southern. If you make it Omaha and the seeds hold, which they won't, and this bracket won't be the right one anyway, but... You know, Tennessee would be the one. The four and fives would be Miami and Oregon State. Talk about kind of past baseball royalty. And then your eight seed would be Texas A&M. Nine Southern.
Are we opposite brackets from A&M and Hoover? I think we are, right?
I mean, they're the West champion, so I'd imagine.
So, yeah, okay. So they're the two overall opposite side.
Would this mean Arkansas's on our side of the bracket?
No, they're not.
It's LSU is ours. Oh. So we're the one. LSU's the four. Arkansas and A&M are the two and three. I'm not sure which order.
All that smack they talked all year. They couldn't even win the West.
I don't think it's in East and West. I think it's just overall.
No, I mean, there is a division champion, though, is what he's saying. But, yeah, it's not. Once they seed, it's just straight
cause it's,
straight
cause
down
the
line.
We're the one, and there's three straight West teams for two, three, and four.
Yeah. But there is East and West in divisions for championship, and did they finish third in the West, all told?
Well, if LSU's on our side of the bracket.
So maybe not. Maybe they got the three. Is Arkansas the three overall?
I thought they would have got – if LSU's on our side of the bracket, that means LSU's the four seed,
four
Arkansas's
overall.
The three.
A&M won the West.
Yeah.
Arkansas is the two.
Okay.
And then LSU would be the third best team in the West, but fourth, you know, overall. So
I did see – so Tennessee finished the regular season in conference play 25-5.
25-5, yes.
No other East team was above 500?
Florida and Georgia were both 15-15. Vanderbilt 14-16. South Carolina 13-17. Kentucky 12-18. And Missouri 10-20. Mississippi State 9-21. Those are the two teams out.
A&M won the West at 19-11.
Yep. Okay. Arkansas 18-12. LSU 17-13. Auburn 16-13. Ole Miss 14-16. Alabama 12-17. Mississippi State 9-21. Your SEC final baseball standings for the regular season.
And we get the winner of
Ole Miss and Vanderbilt. It was eight. That's the 8-9 game.
Do you like that?
Nope. But, I mean,
you got that makes all three of us.
Everybody hates us, though. Like, we're going to get everybody's best shot. It doesn't really matter who it is.
No, I know. I just, something about playing a team that we've, I mean, we're guaranteed to play a team that we swept at their place early in the year. Which, when I say that out loud, sounds like, hey, you're guaranteed to play a team on a neutral site that you swept at their place earlier in the year. Should be a good thing. I'm a Tennessee fan, though. It makes me a little nervous.
Mm-hmm.
That should be a good thing. When I say it, it actually sounds good, but I don't feel good when I say it.
Know what you mean.
Okay.
The bracket is set. As long as we keep winning, I think we're like pretty much 5:30 every game. Well, at least the first two.
Really? That's good.
Yeah. Good time slot. So stick with us. We'll come back with more Hour 3 next. Hour 3 continues, Monday edition. Justin Thomas, your PGA champion. How much money did you say the rookie lost on that one?
You just got to bring it up again, don't you?
I don't know.
That's cool.
I was going to get to Tim Corbin not showing up for the media.
Mm.
You know, somebody made a good point that if that guy can talk to the media, anybody should.
1.9 million.
Golly. It's not just that. Like, you win a major, it changes your whole life with exemptions and.
Justin Thomas, 2.7. Will Zalatoris, 1.6. Mm-hmm. Then Pereira got into a tie with Young, so they each got 870,000 before taxes, though. So.
Yeah. Just, you win a major, you're pretty much set for life. I don't know. Maybe it'll make him hungrier. He'll come back and win another one. Win one. Zalatoris has now finished second at the Masters last year and second PGA. Best finish at the U.S. Open, tied for sixth in 2020. He was really good. I think Justin Thomas kind of deserved it, though. You know why? He was like one of the only guys in that really tough wave of timing that put up such a good score on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the wind laid down for Tiger and Spieth and Rory late in the day. But Justin Thomas had shot like...
And Tiger laid down.
Took a nap.
He needed it.
Did you hear what they were saying about how long it takes him to get warmed? It takes him like 3 hours to warm up.
That's what I mentioned earlier. Yeah, it's
4 hours to cool down.
Yeah. 3 hours to warm up, 5 hours at the course. And then he takes like an ice bath for an hour and a half. Then he's got to get stretched out and massaged.
That's
all that.
Ridiculous.
I'm calling BS.
That's
on it.
Crap.
I don't think all that's necessary.
I never stretched
did
before
you
basketball.
Did see his
games.
Leg when it was busted up? Like, did you see the X-rays? Are you
if
kidding
it
me?
If legitimately takes that much just to play around, he shouldn't be playing.
He does it for the game. That's why I will not handle any Tiger slander on this show.
You know what Larry Bird said about stretching? Stretching's for wusses.
You know what Mike Leach says?
What'd he say?
He says a lion never stretches before it takes out.
That's not true. Anyone with a cat knows they stretch all the time. It's all they do. They sleep, they wake up, they get a little stretch, and they're off and running. Did you see what John Daly ingested in his opening round?
No.
Wait, you really didn't see this?
Probably a cigarette.
So somebody was following him, taking careful notes as to what he ate, what he did.
Yeah, careful notes.
21 cigarettes, 12 Diet Cokes, 6 packs of peanut M&Ms, not a drop of water. And that first round was hot. He was then also seen in the local casino later that night, and by later that night, I mean 2 a.m., with a grocery bag full of beer, two packs of Marlboro Reds sitting at the slot machine. Hey, guys. If that ain't Arkansas, I don't know what is. But no, for your contrast there.
Yeah.
You think Daly has a cool down routine after 18?
Yeah, the slot machine.
It's called the slot machine. Right. Right. But Tiger does that for the game. He does that for me so that I can watch him play. So that I can lose to you in these stupid drafts.
Don't you think like 2 hours will be long enough to cool down? Like he could shorten his routine a little? Like maybe he's overdoing the warm up.
You got to get it right, though.
I feel like if he's only got 36 holes in him right now, maybe if he didn't warm up so long, you know, maybe just hit a few and then go play.
Yeah, he peaks.
Nate, he's not me and you. Like, he needs the time. He's got to get it.
He peaks during the warm-up. I'm with Hickman. But he hits a lot of balls as part of that warm-up. It's not like he's just stretching for 3 hours.
No, that's what I said. He stretches for like 3 hours, then goes to the course, is on the range for an hour and a half.
Couldn't some of those range balls be in play? I'm like, let's just go play.
Maybe they wouldn't be in play if he didn't hit them on the range. He's got to dial it in. He can't push off on the right leg. It's all arms.
I have never forgotten Jack Nicklaus saying, he said, most guys hit way too many balls in practice as golfers. He said, when I was practicing, if I needed to try and hit a certain shot, I'd hit a few. I'd make sure I knew like how to hit it, and that was it. On to the next one.
Those guys are trying to hit the same shot 15 times in a row.
Just over.
And then they start over if they, we got to 10, missed, hit it.
Vijay Singh. 15 in a row. Like hands are bleeding out there.
Yeah. And some of those guys will go like 2 hours on the range before their round, play the round, and then they're back out on the range until dark.
I don't know. I mean, obviously they have to practice a lot to get that good, but. Got to be a balance.
It is ridiculous how good those guys are, though.
I mean, guys at the Iron Man don't go run a marathon the day before. You know, they cut back, you know, get ready to peak.
Yeah, but the guys who win the eating contest, they fill their belly with lettuce the day before.
Lots
and then
of water, too. Don't forget the water.
Water and lettuce, yeah.
Is it really lettuce?
Yeah, because you pass it quickly and it'll stretch your stomach.
Hmm.
It's balance, you know.
I never stretched or anything.
You've got a point, though. Marathon runners, and they're not. I mean, for marathons, at least, there is like a schedule, like, you know, 2 miles, 6 miles, 2 miles, 5 miles, 2 miles, 10 miles.
Have you ever noticed, though, if you stretch and do physical activity, like the one time I would stretch, like I was out there running around, I was like, man, I feel like I'm about to pull something.
You didn't stretch it enough. You were looser to start, but you didn't actually activate. That's why, Nate, he has to activate the glutes. Do you remember that? That was a thing. He's like, I gotta fire my glutes.
Takes 4 hours to get those glutes fired up.
Well, he's on 1.5 legs. And he's out there for your entertainment. You better be glad he's out there. Because he's costing me. And you keep winning because Hickman sure as hell can't pick a team.
You just wait, buddy. You're on my list.
We established I would have won narrowly if you'd picked someone else.
Not if there had been penalties for the missing the cut thing. I'm just saying, I haven't picked a golfer that's missed the cut all year. I just happened to pick two that have withdrawn, and then we insert a withdrawal penalty. Which is
you picking the guys that quit for being injured is perfect. You were complaining about your back all last week. Bad mojo.
I showed up.
You sent the mojo to Tiger.
But Louis balled out.
I don't think. Was he there, Louis?
Yeah, he was okay.
Did he miss the cut?
No, I think he made the cut, actually.
Really?
I think.
Him over the weekend. We'll check that. Final second next. Check that. Final segment of the program. Crazy play in, I don't know, some small college. It ended their season, too. This wasn't like some regular season game. Shouts out to new intern Brett for bringing to our attention in the break. Excited to have him get trained up here on 3-and-out. A little 3-and-out and the drive. Double duty.
I want to make sure we give credit.
Getting the right teams and everything.
But I can't find it.
Well, here's the play. It was 11-7. I guess bases were loaded.
Mm-hmm.
Two outs. Got the plate. Hits one into the gap. I mean, it should be a clear double. You know, one runs in, two runs in. Oh, he's going to score from first. It's going off the, you know, crack of the bat, two outs. Three runs, going to be 11-10. Oh, they throw to second, and he's out.
But inning, he wasn't.
Inning over, game over, season over. But then there's – but wait, there's more.
Then we have Zapruder films come out that show exactly what happened.
Like, how did that guy not make it a second? The ball, it's all the way to the fence. As he was rounding first, the umpire is directly in the baseline. And while the runner is, you know, eyes on the ball, doesn't even see him, slams into the guy, falls down. I guess it doesn't really show the two videos I saw. Neither shows him getting up and then attempting for second. You only see kind of that second one. And he's thrown out at second. You said there is.
Northeastern State.
Northeastern State.
Was batting.
Hmm. You said there is such thing as umpire interference, but the only thing I'm seeing is.
What I heard was there is apparently a rule in place for umpire interference, but it's umpire's discretion, and they can award a base as they see fit. But like I said, I'm thinking the player collides with the ump. They both fall down. The guy's thinking he's got a stand-up double. He probably says something like, get the bleep out of the way. Then the ump chases him to second, calls him out when I think he was safe. And then it's, we got a brouhaha kerfluffle. And that would have put a runner in scoring position, two outs, and their best, basically best player, best hitter, was next to the plate.
This rules website I'm on, Umpire Bible, doesn't have that. This says there's no call you can make on that. The only umpire interference is the plate umpire interfering with the catcher. It says usually this happens on a like kind of a pass ball as the catcher like tries to stand up and then throw a runner out and the umpire's
right.
in the way.
Or maybe if the umpire kicks a ball on the ground as the catcher's turning around to go for it or
says
something like
if
that.
If you are the plate umpire on a steal, you inadvertently bump the catcher or otherwise impede his ability to make a play on the runner. You can call time. That's interference. The ball is dead. Any runners moving on the play must return to their original base. And your partner's going to laugh at you on this one. That was a little comment. It says, in all other situations where an umpire inadvertently contacts a base runner, a defensive player, or the ball itself, you have nothing. Live ball. Do what you can to minimize your impact and let the play continue. There were two other situations that I already talked about, but that had to do with the ball hitting an umpire, not anything with runners.
All I know is if I'm a fan of a team and the season ends like that, I mean, hypothetically, okay, it's Coppin State in the regional.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, they took one from us. We won the second. It's the rubber match. Drew Gilbert slams a double, rounds first, and there's Macias. In the way.
Mm-hmm.
Collision. Then he chases him to second and calls him out. Now, in our scenario, that probably wouldn't happen because you'd have a second-place umpire.
And Macias can't really run.
And Macias wouldn't get up. He'd probably just end the game once he got hit, even though it would be his fault. I would fear for Macias' life trying to get off that field. It would be Ole Miss on you know, in Neyland, obviously. I mean, it would take days to clean the field up.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people are going to jail.
Why is that umpire where he is in this play?
I have no idea.
He is like two steps from first base, like kind of like right where the first baseman kind of stands as he moves off the base when he's covering first.
I couldn't tell if he was trying to move forward and thought the guy would take a wider cut.
Yeah, he is moving forward.
Going to second.
But I just don't understand.
If you're the first baseman there, like you have to be aware that the guy's going to try to turn two. Awful play. If that happens to us, good Lord. Prayers up.
Yep. Well, good show, everyone. Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio. It's going to be a fun week with the SEC baseball tournament. Starting tomorrow,
Shrimp
actually.
Boil.
crawfish boil?
We're watching the weather.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Excuses.
Every time.
North Knox Siding and Windows is a complete exterior home improvement.